nobility in life is knowing the Lord and walking in His way. The most glorious pursuit of mankind is walking in God's image and likeness. It is our utmost desire that you will be richly blessed as you listen to this message from Living Scroll Ministry, aka Eat the Bible Network. For more life-transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Praise the Lord. And I really want to appreciate you, like I said, for the hand of fellowship and for the confidence, you know, we post on me to invite me for yet another edition. Thank you so much. God bless you all. And also, I want to thank my brother too, and also a friend, for the wonderful exposition he just did. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is the heart of it all. That's it. Of course, we are all ministers here, and we are people that already know the truth. You know, and when I would have wished he read the whole chapter for us, because I went to read it further while he was opening that Jeremiah 2:2. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. I saw things there too that really, really touched me. And from what he told us. Then even my brother too, the word he spoke last time, you know, the message, I still remember. Praise the Lord. So please, I want to beg us to this fellowship to give you priority. Priority. One day, I think it was even in the middle of the night, the Holy Spirit spoke a word to me. He said, we're actors on an eternal stage. You know, at a point, Abraham was here. He did his portion and he left. The flame is still on. At a point, somebody else came called Elijah. He did his own, he went. Now, the world has so many stages. You have so many movies, you had, you know. But he said, we are actors on an eternal stage. You know, what we are doing, the impact, the fragrance of it is eternal. That we cannot see it does not, invalidate, does not cover the truth. The truth is eternal. One day, Joshua was fighting a battle. You know, it was not in a prayer meeting. He was fighting a battle at Jericho. You know the midst of, you know how the battle smells like. And he stood in the midst of that battle. After they fell the wall of Jericho, everything had gone. He stood there. He said, curse is the man that will raise up the foundation of this place. Right? He said he will do it in a first son, the foundation, and the gate in his last born. Joshua died and he was buried, you know, and his bones were even gone from the surface of the earth. But you know, in the days of Ahab, you know, from that Judges to the time of Ahab was about 500 years later. So a man rose up, Hiel, what is his name? Hiel, that's his name. And he wanted to build that city of Jericho. He began laying the foundation, the firstborn died. Joshua was dead and long gone. But the words that Joshua spoke was standing over that place. You know, they are custodian angels that holds the words that we speak. You know, that's why I say, Jeremiah, I'm watching to see that my word is fulfilled. Of course, that's the means of angels. God spoke to Jeremiah 100 years later. The word that Joshua spoke. Generations have come, generations have gone, you know. And if not because of the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that it was written, nobody in that city knew. Eh? No, not yes, now. Of course, there will be other so many reasons that we can give, you know. So many reasons that we can give. Is the gate again. Another son went. You know, this word was written by the inspiration. This is God's perspective to global event on earth. What you call the Bible. If God should write about Nigeria, you'll be shocked at what will be written there. And so many things we hype, you know. So many things we hype and elevate. You might discover that God will write the chronicles of Nigeria, it might not be there. Another man, you remember this man, the man of God, is it they call him the man of God from Judah also, when the prophet, when the king was making a sacrifice, you know, I say I'll bring I'm going to bring somebody, Josiah by name also, that author, you know, when he was speaking and he stretched forth his hand, the hand became a leprous and he withdrew the hand. That word that he spoke, it was fulfilled about 330 something years later. That was when the Jeremiah came. So if you are looking at the strength of what you are, so many people does not have the energy to move. Because they are looking at the strength of what they are doing now and, you know, now and the way the world is designed. If you take one step, you must see the result. If you take another step, you must see the result. This man spoke. If those times, it was our time now that we have all our digital to record everything, after about 30 years, 5 years, you say it's a false prophet.
He has failed.
Sometimes certain words that has been spoken, you see, God, I like to put it this way, God has size. God is eternal. And everything God does is eternity. Even with your life and with my life. So there's an understanding that we have that will shape the things that we do. What about prayers we are talking about? You read in the book of Revelation that every prayer that was prayed on earth was gathered as an incense and poured back on the earth for the last days. But so many times we are so weak in prayer, you know, as if you are just wasting your time. Abi? And now maybe you say, only me, let me come and stay here and pray. You stay small, pray like that. Because we don't know the import of what we are doing. You say we are actors on an eternal stage. Nothing is wasted. Everything done in the kingdom. Say God will harness all the prayers back and pour it back to the earth. That's why I gave all the illustration of what Joshua just spoke. Not those serious time or let us pray. You know, he spoke. And then it was after 500 and something. It's not a small something. So you can see that certain things can be happening in this city now. Places like Akure now, maybe something spoken 18 something. How many of us are okay? Now, you know, I say because this is God's perspective that we know. How many of us are attributing certain things that happened now to like 100 years ago? Certain men that have walked this street of this land? Nothing. Can you see? This is what we call, I'm just explaining what we call darkness. He said, who is so blind like my servant? And deaf like the one whom I sent? Certain things that happens, you know, now. That's why if you look at the Bible now, look at every certain thing that was spoken. He said, behold, I bring forth my servant Elijah. He will come back again. Malachi. And about 400 years later, that was when another man came. They were still waiting, you know. Then it was even documented. The prophetic writings were documented. That also helped them. Then when John the Baptist came, Jesus stood in his day. Jesus is not like us. And he said, this man is Elijah that he was talking about. Apart from Christ, nobody else will have known. So they have still been waiting for fulfillment of prophecy. Meanwhile, prophecies have been fulfilled already. And that's why we are so futuristic in our thinking about God. We are so futuristic. You see, a time is coming and has now come. So God is in the now. You see, now faith is in the now. So we must learn to see God now and see Him today. We must learn to see God now and see Him today. Okay, when I grow up, okay, this and that, certain thing. No. Everything that it can happen now, who was, who is to come, is the same person. There is no past, there is no present, there is no future in God. God is an eternal, everlasting state that continues in perpetuity. That's the definition of eternity. It's an everlasting state that just continues in perpetuity. It's because of the four that we have time that we're able to say, okay, yesterday, today, and all of those things are not in God. God can speak to you now. God can speak to you now. And He comes back to fulfill what He has done. You now start calculating time. You now see it's 2 years ago. You know, but as far as God is concerned, it's in the yes. Yes, now. It's okay, Sister Bookie, let me give you my Bible. This process of giving you my Bible, you calculate it on earth, it says like 4 years. So can you see how big God is? Can you see the one that we are following? Can you see the one that we are serving? Praise the Lord. That's why we need to give the more earnest heed to the things that we are hearing. We need to believe what we are hearing. We need to believe what we are seeing. Praise the Lord. We need to believe God. We need to believe God. We are actors on an eternal stage. Abraham was here, he was gone. And now you are here, now I'm here. And then books are still written. Because now, you know, it pleases God. I say, you just write this one and just keep it for us. Then, you know, the book of Revelation, see the book of life, and other books are being written. So things are still being written. Books. Just the same thing you saw this one. You see that Abraham is defined. Paul, all of those. No, books are still written. Like, just like this. So what to be written about you and about I? That's the big question. Because the earth passes away with all of the glory, all of the names. The names that are names on earth are not names in heaven. Are not names in heaven. When God did His own genealogy, He would just pick this one, pick this name, pick this name, pick this name. Those that are relevant are aligned according to His purpose. Any name that is not there is taken out. So if you have this kind of understanding, there are people that men are crazy about, they give them as illustration, an example of success. That such name will be a taboo on your tongue. Because it is everything that is in alignment with His word that is always written in the word. And God takes account of it. God, sometimes certain things we see, God does not even see them. Sometimes that's why when people offend you, you are getting offended. What they did, God did not even say it. And yet you are offended, you are angry. You know, he took my money with all the money I had, 3 or 4 million. You know, because you have given value to that money. But as far as God is concerned, nothing has happened. Maybe you just walk in love, maybe walk in faith, just forgiveness. And that will release a kind of a power inside of your life that will give you times 30 of what that person took away. But we'll keep dwelling on that one because it's so big in our sight. 3 million, 4 million. And that's why some of us do not even have money. Because money has value in your eyes. It carries weight. So long as it carries weight, you can get it through every other means. But that one that will come directly from the throne, you will not get it. Because you need to die in God before you live. Praise the Lord. You need to die in God before you live. So when you die to certain things, then God will now begin to count you. This person can be trusted. You know, you see that he's not faithful in the unrighteous mammon. Who will give you your own, the true riches, the true wealth of the kingdom? Praise the Lord. So I want to encourage us to bat it. You are working, you are laboring. You are laboring. You know, and so sometimes God will just hide from you even the impact of what you are doing so that you can walk by faith. I read the book where Paul, the prophet Rejoiner, God took him to heaven and showed him some people there. Then gave him the privilege to speak to the apostle Paul. So that was the call, right? And Paul said something. That the night of his execution, he felt he was a failure. You know, if you notice his writing, you'll be seeing that Demas has forsaken me. Having loved this present war, all Asia is turned away from me. He told him. He said, a night of his execution, he felt he was a failure. That the night before he was killed. You know, because of course, we are still human. You know, and sometimes the Spirit of God will come upon us. Yes, they're living in the present. You know, sometimes the Spirit of God will come up with certain kind of words. After speaking that word, you might still go and fall to the same thing that you just spoken about. True of us. You understand? You know, so after writing the speaking, he wrote all those things and finished the race and all of those things. He said, but that night, he was just looking around. Look at him in bonds. Dragged from one city to another city, you know. Like that. They even wanted to kill him before they came to rescue him in Jerusalem. Drag him here. You know, it was 2 years when one man left and another man came. They left him for 2 years there. Felix and Festus. In between the two, they were 2 years. They were just left their way. They had no trial yet. You know, and the kind of Bob Z that Paul was having, you know, certain things was happening inside of him. But look at it. How will Paul know about the letters that he wrote? He wrote to maybe Timothy. He's just like now. He said, okay, I'm not with Victor now. Let me write Victor. Paul was not thinking that those letters would be collated. But God was having something in mind. He said, we are actors on an eternal stage. Those letters became immortal. He was just writing, my son Timothy. For you see, it was a personal letter. From the content, who has bewitched you, O foolish Galatian? If they are told Paul that this letter you are writing, they are preserving it, you've got a man who tamper with it. Yes, now. The Spirit of God is obvious to us. Yes, now. Let me not write foolish Galatian now. So they will not stay. See, he was just writing, he was just himself. You know, but this is what God does. God takes what you bring, then he puts his seal on it. He puts his name on it. And then it now begins to generate power. So just a letter he wrote, but God put his name on it. That's the difference. It's just like the rod of Moses, it was ordinary stick. After God put his hand on that rod, can you carry it and break it? Can you even go to that rod? It was a normal rod. Just an ordinary rod. It's the same thing about these words. That's why if you search inside very well, the Muslim will tell about 50,000 mistakes in the Bible. You see it there. But even that mistake, God has covered them. Says he was also 2 years in this city. And that one can tell that he was 4 days in that city. And all of those things, what they cannot see that God puts his hand on it. He said, whatever God wants to use, become his own. God wanted to use that letter so it become God's word. It was Paul that wrote. Paul spoke, but it became God's word. It became God's word. Because God took ownership of those words. Praise the Lord. So I want us to have that impetus, you know, to keep doing the thing that we do. Like my brother was saying about, is anything you do over time? Over time, maybe like he was talking about quiet time. Over time, for instance now, maybe it's okay, I'll be meeting with God so time. If you do it over time, it becomes a covenant between you and God. Whatever you do consistently in God over time becomes a covenant. And God will have respect unto it. That's who he is. That's who God is. Over, as you keep just doing it, God can initiate a covenant, you can initiate it. Just like Jephthah. Was it God that told him anything that come out of his house? God will not tell him that kind of thing. But he was the one that initiated it. And it became a covenant in God. Jephthah, so anything that come out of my house, I'll sacrifice. So you can initiate a covenant with God. You can, when you start doing, he said, this time 50 verse 1, I said, gather to me my holy ones who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. So as you keep doing it consistently, then God will now start having respect and God will begin to honor it. Even the word, if you are going to create time, you know, time or a particular kind of study, you are going to create time, do it consistently. How will God reward you? God will just open the book to you. You just open, you start seeing ancient things. Praise the Lord. You start seeing ancient things. The book will just open. You know, will just open. Praise the Lord. Now, Janet, let me talk briefly about this fire, the revival fire. You see, for personal and for church, I have laid a very, very strong foundation and a very strong impetus for us to believe in these things, you know, that everything in the world is designed to make it look like useless. Make it look useless, you know. Does not carry reward, does not carry gain. It does not carry reward, does not carry gain. Then it keep pushing it aside. And then I think doctor that was saying something, and it's very, very correct, you know, because after my children go to school, as my boy is coming, they give him 8 assignments. You know, this part of the system of this world. He has been in school from morning till my wife will go and pick them. They finish 3:15. So my wife will get around 4, picks them. My wife is working now. By the time all of us go to the house, start battling assignments. You know, 8 assignments. By the time you finish that one, which time do you have? This is their young children every blessed day until they're on holiday. You see, that's how they will suck life out of you. So we must be wise unto salvation. You see, the scripture is able to make you wise unto salvation. Sometimes mathematics, they'll give you all this 1, 2, 3, up to 20. To sit down and do. Every day was there. He did time. I said, stop it there. It's okay. That 10, go and carry this your Bible story that I give you to read. To read. Or they just watch some of those animated Bible stories that I've downloaded a lot for them. You know, that like in place of those cartoons. Children actually watch cartoons, so I've downloaded all kinds of things, even songs, music. My daughter of 2 years, they can sing all kinds of songs. So a lot, you know, a lot. I put it in all the TVs, you know, put the flash. So they are watching all those things like that. So that way, self, my two daughters, self, it has killed their taste bud for Disney Junior and Jim Jam. Because yes, you must give them the alternative to it. Because this thing is embedded in their nation. You know, yes. God put it there. This thing will call music. They sing unto the Lord a new song. They want to sing. They want expression. You know. So I started all kinds of singing early in the morning. I'll just, no light, I'll on the gen for an hour before they go. That's what I used to wake them up. With them, put the gospel music, you know, let it be entering them, you know, all those children, like these Better Keys, you can go and download it. Very fine Better Keys, they love you so much. Just Google Better Keys, you see the Better Keys. One of their songs is Amazing Grace, they sing it very well, Amazing Grace. By the time you put, you see, I think they have about 9-10 songs, there's an album, Better Keys, then Hillsong, Kills, Kids, God, all of those things, you yourself pick interest, I will sing it with them. You know, we'll sing it, so that is what just dominates, you know, the house. Now, if my daughter collects my phone, I come and play so song for me. Say, oh, I know the one she's talking about. Play this one, you know, so we must give children, who must be wise. It's time now, the contention is for time. If Satan can take your time, then he has finished you. Yes, he has just finished you. The rest is going to be easy. The rest is going to be easy, because you need time, divine content inside of us. Time is required. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to touch on something briefly. Genesis 3, let me read from, after the sin, we know the account of the fall. I want to read, verse 22 to 24. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. You see, God, number one, when we look at God or look at his word or look at him through his word, first thing we should understand that God is a spirit. Anytime God is speaking, he's speaking spirit. He's speaking spiritual reality. So we all know that God sent man on exile. But where did he exile the man to? You know, I've asked a couple of people before, they say to the world and all of those things, you know, but it's far, far more beyond that. You see, the man drove them from out of the garden to till the ground. You see, we can say God sent man from the garden. Where did he send him to? He was in the garden. He sent him out. You see, God exiled man. Then the Lord God said, behold the mockery. Therefore, the Lord sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground. So then verse 4 says, so he drove out the man and placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword. When God exiled man, I'm going to show us from the scripture. Just follow me with patience. God exiled man. Please, just touch your hand. Just touch it for me. God sent man on exile to live in this body. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This was not the body that man came with. Yeah. This body came after the fall. So when God made man, they state that man was, you know, Genesis 1:2 and Genesis chapter 3, the gap is so wild. Because Genesis 3 is the account of the fall. That's where we still are. And the work of redemption is coming and everything. But Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 is in a class of its own. Praise the Lord. It's in a class on its own. Then Revelations 22 is on a class of its own. So if you take the two books, Genesis 1, Genesis 2, you know, Revelations 21, Revelations 22, in those four books, man is without sin. So every other thing that happened was in between. So if you put those four books together, it's a complete book, you know. So that's why Genesis 1 started in the beginning. Okay, I want to say something specific. You can, I've spoken a message on it. Why were you created? You can get it online at livingschoolministry.org. Why were you created? Livingschoolministry.org. You see there, why were you created? .org, yes. Livingschoolministrycombined.org. Okay, so in Genesis 3, after the sin, after the fall, that is when they saw them, said they were naked, then this body. He said, this body, you are living in an alien territory. Praise the Lord. Look at, we're going to check some scriptures. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. He said, beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which were against the soul. That means we are sojourners, we are pilgrims on earth. But when man is basically a pilgrim, is this body. Because it is this body that connects you to the system that gave birth to the system of this whole world. Is it as sojourner and pilgrims, you know, abstain from fleshly laws which war against the soul. Then go to Philippians chapter 3, okay, verse 20. Philippians 3:20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform. What will he transform? Our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. I want us to read King James verse 21. What did he say? Yes.
Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body?
He said, which body do we have now? How did he call that word, body? This one said lowly body. Was that the body that man was came with? Okay. Okay. Then please finish your reading.
Glorious body, according to the work whereby he is able to subdue all things.
Okay, now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So I'll show us here why revival tarries. Verse 9. Therefore, we make it our aim, 2 Corinthians 5 now, make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done. Where did he do it? The things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So we read that when we're ambassadors to Christ, every ambassador has an office. and your office is this body. You say, we're ambassadors of Christ, we're ambassadors. That the United States ambassador in Nigeria now, he has his own office, hello there. But you are an ambassador on earth. And your first office is your body. That's why the contention is so hot there. And that has been all this spiritual warfare you hear, and all of those these powers and all of those things. You know, it's just like a circle of three circles within. You have the outer layer, which is the devil. You have the inner layer, which is sin. Then you have the core, inner core, which is the flesh. Because that is what took man from glory in the first place. It was the same body. When God created man, you know, because it was after the sin that he saw that they were naked. That means the flesh was not visible. Because of the glory that covered. You know, the flesh was not visible because of the glory that covered. It was after the sin. You see, their eyes were open and now saw that they were what? They were naked. But any Satan, through his wisdom, he had already seen that. So he began appealing to what they were not even seeing. And possibly not even know that existed in them. Is that appealing to the flesh? If you look at all the temptation that when the woman saw that it was good for food, you know, to make one wise, and has everything that has to do with body. So he tempted them with that body, and when he fell to that body, God sent man on exile to live in that same body. And that's why the glory and the crown will be given to him that overcomes now. Say to him that overcome it. You know, if you can overcome this body, overcome this flesh, if you can break the alabaster box of the flesh, then the Holy Ghost will flow. That's the fire of revival will come out. All of them, name it from Samson. How did he didn't just go and say, okay, 1-3 there. If you can knock your head on it like that and your head is not broken, you know, he just appealed to something inside of Satan, inside of Samson. Look at that Second Peter already. He said, as pilgrims and sojourners, what you should run away from flesh desires. The word desire is lust. He said, from the lust of the flesh, which wage war against the soul. That's why he said, war. It wages war. And you know, if it's a small fight, you can say, okay, small fight. You know, it's a total war. Total war, you know, against the soul. And if you look at the parable that Jesus gave us, the parable of the sower, what is inside? At the final analysis of it, he said, one talks about the understanding. He didn't understand what was spoken. The other one said he was offended because it doesn't have roots. When the heat came, you know, when the heat came, when one or two things, discomfort started coming, you know, he wanted to preserve the flesh. Preserve the same flesh. The third one said the desires, he was one leg in and one leg, he wanted the world, you know, he said the care and the deceitfulness of riches. Everything has to go to that timeless battle in the garden. It was this body. So God sent man on exile to live in the same body. So if you can conquer and overcome that same body, I'll give you the crown of life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, so you can see it. He said, we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ for each of us to receive the things done in the body, whether it is good or whether it is evil. He said, abstain from fleshly desires. Can you see fleshly desires? And that fleshly desire, let's not begin to think about woman or man or those. No. Like what a doctor gave example, he happened to fight a good number of us every time. Like that one, he said, they even pray and all of those things, you know, all our calculation and statistics is outside God. This is what we call fleshly lust. This, you know, look good. And okay, I want to give you a portfolio. Okay, like that. And okay, I want to make you a commissioner in this state and everything. Commissioner, okay. You start thinking on how you can use that position for God. Meanwhile, there are other hidden motives inside. Okay, God can be calling you to do the commissioner, or God can be calling for something else. But what is important? You know, I told us we are actors on an eternal stage. You know, you don't act your own script, you act his own script. So what is important is his own script. So that is why, you see, if you hear this scripture that says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Is sin. This is it. It's simple. You say, whatsoever is not of, what is faith? Faith, the Genesis of faith, we are talking about Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Faith is acting on the impulse of God. When the Holy Ghost bestir you and you begin to move in that direction. But if any other thing bestir you and you move in that direction, whether the purpose or the thing is you are using it, I want to use for something good. What did he say? He said that thing is what? Is sin. It's just like maybe something like that. God wants you to go to one university in Ghana. Then you go and do you have the opportunity to do your PhD there and everything, and you know he's telling you to go there. And all of a sudden, United States now give you to Harvard. Just landed in your mailbox now. You know, yes. If you have not conquered this thing, you will not hear God, and you can also hear God, but you hear him that is saying go to United States. And God also can also send you to United States. But what is important is that when you are standing, you are moving, you have moved to that space at the impulse, you know, of His nudging. That is what we call faith. You are the motion, you know, is the Bible talk about the motion of sin, right? Romans 7. This one I'm talking about the motions of righteousness that moved you to that spot. That's what we call faith. Faith. You have done it at the impulse. Some people are people married. God will still be with them, you know. But the initial step they take is sin. Because that was not the direction God wants them to go. But God will still help. You know, God, He said, God is grace. God is love. He will still help you as much as He can. He will help you. You know, He will now come to do damage repair and everything. He will come. He will still come. Praise the Lord. It's just like doctor now. They tell a young lady or a young guy, don't commit fornication and adultery. You go out and commit fornication and adultery and carry HIV. If he comes to doctor, will he not treat him? Eh? That's who God is. When you see come back, when Cain came back, at least I preserve my life. I don't want to die. Did God not help him? He did, but he just killed his brother. Praise the Lord. So I want us to know that your first battle, when you talk about spiritual warfare, is this thing called flesh. It is in called the body. That alabaster, that box must be broken for God. And that's why God, when God was sending the Holy Ghost, He sent the Holy Ghost to the same body. After the work, the sacrifice, everything Christ has done, He sent the Holy. That's why Paul said, now the spirit and the flesh, they are what? They are at war. Can you see? The spirit and the flesh, they are at war. You know, we're talking about so that you don't do the things you need to do. But if you walk in the spirit, you will not be under the flesh. That Galatians 5. You see, the spirit is bad, and all of those things are lodged in the realm of desires. You know, sometimes, see, I need to be studying my Bible. You know, it will just be like that after 6 months. I need to be studying my Bible. And all of those things. Those are spiritual forces at work. Heavy ones. And they work in a manner you don't know. Praise the Lord. They walk in a manner you don't know. They will crowd yourself. I just told you now, how are you able to look? You know, I look from a superior height and I saw that this thing, all those things, you know, of course, will total my son, will do all those things, but we must have the wisdom to overcome this world. Because if we run that same pattern, the world should not give us pattern. We should have our pattern, receive our patterns from God. You know. So, inner ability to look through things and then see, you know, and see the inner core and the inner circle of it. Praise the Lord. So this is why a lot of us, the Holy Ghost is there, but it's not functional. The fire for what we're talking about, that fire is the Holy Spirit. He said, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Jesus will baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. The Spirit is fire, you know. Yes, you know, that will come out through your spoken word. But so many times our words are empty. Empty because our lives are somehow empty, even when the Holy Ghost is there. You know, there are two kinds of presence. Yes, you know, even from the account of Genesis is there. There's a presence that God is there. It's just like He's in dormancy. Yes, now, if you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, He said, the earth was shapeless without form, darkness was everywhere, and the Holy Ghost was there. How possible is that? It's just like the Bible says, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. How come light and darkness were in the same place, and it's only darkness that is seen? You know? See, we should be very, very careful when we talk about God. The Holy Ghost will be there, but you just, let me say, in non-manifest presence, He was there. You know, praise the Lord. It's there. It's just like there's here now, everywhere is dark. And I bring a light. If you want to describe this place, will it be light? Is it not the darkness will go? But the Holy Ghost was there and the light was not ceasing. It's just like saying light was there and everything, the account was there, that darkness was there. The presence was there, but it was not manifest. Until God spoke, let there be light. And then the Holy Ghost unveiled light. But that light has always been there. So the Holy Ghost can be in our meetings and nothing is happening. That's what I'm trying to say. He can be in our meeting. He can be in our lives. And everything will still be ordinary. Then even darkness, you know, which was a symbolism for the forces of evil. And they could still be running wild. Jeremiah chapter 2. Now that verse 13 he read, I'll read it then. I'll read it up till the place is stopped. He said, for my people have committed to evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed themselves cistern, broken cistern that can hold no water. Is Israel a servant? Is he a home-born slave? Why is he then plundered? How can you have eternal power with you and you still be subject to bondage? That's why he's asking that question. Say why? He said, the young lions roared at him. Hope you know that the devil is like a lion. So I know God is spirit. When he talks spirit. So don't, we don't imagine lions. He's talking about all these forces, the host of wickedness. You know, he said these are the horns that scatter Judah. Some of us have seen it in the book of Zechariah. He said these are the four spirits that scatter Judah. Like that. So he said the young lions roar at him. The devil roar at him and growl, all kinds of spirits. They made his land waste and his cities are burned without inhabitant. Also the people of Noph and Tahpenes have broken the crown of your head. Have you not brought this on yourself, in that you have forsaken the Lord your God when he led you in the way? Can you see it? So there is a present. God is with us. No doubt about that. What Jesus did is perfect and is complete. But it might not be manifest. You know, it might not be unfolded and unveiled if ourselves, we are not, you know, we are not aligned, you know, and have not broken the alabaster box of the flesh where the Holy Ghost can come out. And how do we break it? Is by yielding to the word. Don't forget that the darkness in Genesis 1 to disappear when the word of God came, right? The Holy Ghost was there, but it was when the word of God came, let there be light, you know, and then the Holy Ghost responded to the word of God. So now the Spirit of God that will be inside of us, the revival fire and all of those things that will be inside, it will come out as you and I began responding and yielding to the word. Simple. Simple. When the word of God begins to come, the things we know, the thing you know it, I know it, we know it. As we begin responding in spirit and in truth to the things that we already know. We all know that if somebody offends you, you should forgive the person, right? And we're saying this one is difficult to forgive. You understand? It's like carrying cutlass and you want to run 100 meters. You yourself carry cutlass and cut off one of your leg. And then I say, on your mark, you do like this, go. You not only take class. That is, you know, so there are things we know. There are things we know. So it's in doing those things. The Holy Ghost is there. In fact, he was there from the beginning, has also been there. If you look at the Peter now, he said the Holy Ghost is sent down to earth. And now in his manifest presence. The Holy Ghost has always been on earth. But the word he used now, he has been sent. That means this sending now is his manifest presence has come. But some are seeing it and some will not see it. It's not going to be a function of themselves. Look at Peter. Look at 1 Peter. So I will try to round it up here. Look at 1 Peter. Of this verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. He said, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Who prophesied of the grace that will come to you? Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that will follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angel desire to look upon. He's talking about that sending in Acts of the Apostle. When that Holy Ghost came down that day, you saw what he did day one. This, and from that time, I'm not talking about tomorrow or next tomorrow. From that day, that is what we ought to be seeing from the day one that he came. Look at the first day that he landed. He came in his manifest presence. So that one was different from that one there. And darkness was still there. You know, so that day they began to speak. This is about 3,000 got saved and like that. And that time 5,000. He came in his manifest presence. And so this is the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost is not just that the Holy Ghost is in Akure. Or the Holy Ghost is in the church here. Maybe let's say, okay, let me say it's in the reconciliation house. No. The Holy Ghost is right inside of your body. That manifest presence. What you saw in Acts chapter 1. You see that surging river that you saw in Acts chapter 1 is packaged and put inside of you. And how come our lives are ordinary? These are very fundamental questions. That Holy Ghost, you know, I told you that he said with the Holy Doctor, the scripture already said 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 up to 10, 11, 12. Talks about let me just read verse 12 for so that he said to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Is that what sent? I want to collaborate with Acts chapter 2. That when the Holy Ghost came, it was his manifest presence that came. You know, I talk about two kinds of presence. Because Jesus was there for 30 years. Was it a manifest presence? It was like God was there. He was there. He said he came to his own did not know him. It was that there's a kind of presence. God is there. You don't even see him. That's why that's his presence. That's what we have at Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. God was there and darkness was running everywhere. You know, and the word of God came, let there be light, and light was everywhere. So Jesus was there even when he was 27 years old. God, Emmanuel was still with the people. But it was not a manifest presence until he was endued with the Holy Ghost. You know, and when he was coming, he said, the people that stayed in Naphtali and Zebulun, they have seen a great light. He has not yet preached, he has not spoken, just because he walked into that city. He said, they've seen a great light. So in the spiritual atmosphere of that city, the light began shining before it was darkness. He said, oh Zebulun and Naphtali, you see, the people that dwell in the land of darkness, they have seen a great light. So there is a governing atmosphere over that territory was darkness. But Jesus, after the wilderness and the anointing, and he stepped into that city, he had not yet spoken, but there was a presence of life in the spiritual atmosphere of that city. So anybody that could see can take advantage of that atmosphere. That's why Jesus was in a city, he was preaching. They said the power of God was there to heal. Abi, but all kinds of people were there. If they were not sick, they would have people that were sick. Until some other person that had that understanding that there's an atmosphere here, they removed the roof and dropped somebody there, right? Jesus said, your sins are forgiven and you are healed. So when the Holy Ghost came on Pentecost Day, that's what I'm trying to round up with this. What came down was his manifest presence. You know, it was his surging sea that came down. And that surging sea is supposed to be flowing from nation to nation, city to city, household to household, family to family. And that is our calling. That is our calling. So, but we are very, very serious people. You know, Peter left his wife and children for 3 years. And he was following Jesus and sleeping on the mountain and on the rock. We must pay the price. You must go beyond this body. I told us we are on exile. Well, this body. It's first of this body before the world. Because the life of this world, the life of this body, we call the life of this world. So you are not exiled, even in this flesh, even in this body. You are a sojourner here. It's as pilgrim and sojourners. You see, run away from the desires of the body, which you wage war, total war against the soul. Praise the Lord. So this is what I want to beseech us that we're on the right track. You know, this is the path. This is the path. This is the part on the right track, and I want us to keep doing it. You know, keep doing it. If there's a possibility to do more, where you have just pure prayer meetings of tongues, 3 hours. You know, blasting tongues, just 3 hours. You know, blast tongues. You know, you start it. You know, like that. You know, over time it become a part. It become a nation. You see, over the, is it 2 weeks ago that I went for Rural Rugged with the Coppers? They invited me for their Rural Rugged crusade. The Friday I went to the office. Okay, we had vigil on Thursday in my place. After the vigil on Thursday, so I went to the office in Undo. So from the office now, I took permission from my manager that, okay, I'll be going for a meeting somewhere in Ijare. I'll leave around 4. So at around 4:30 there about, I left. I did a kind of a partial fast that day. I didn't intend to fast actually. I was not hungry, so I didn't eat. So I just took, sometime in the afternoon, I just took some small biscuit. This afternoon or around that 5, I took some small biscuit and then drank water. So I went for the meeting. So after the first night, I go back to the house. In Thailand, I was very hungry because I would come back late. So I couldn't eat much. So the food they gave me rice. I just took small. I said I'll eat the following day. Now the following day I'll eat in the morning. I didn't intend to fast for that program. I'll just pray. So that morning when I woke up, okay, I said, let me pray. I started praying. Say, let me, you know, and the next meeting they said they were coming to pick me around 6. Because I stayed somewhere close to that place. One of our pastors in church stays around there. So I told, I was staying in his house. So they dropped me. So they said they were coming to pick me back. So that day I woke up thirsty and woke up very thirsty and hungry. I said, I will eat in that morning. But when I just woke up, I began praying. I said, okay, I'll pray till 12. I'll stop. God, the spirit of prayer was there. I'll stop around 12. You understand? But when I kept going, I said, no, I can't stop till 12 that. I want to stop the prayer around 5. So, and they are coming to pick me around 6. Around 6, I was tired, I was thirsty. You know, but I knew I just kept till around 6. After some night, I did the kind of studying. The Lord was teaching me something. So, I looked at my Bible. This was, I continued the prayer till around that 5. You know, around that 5 that they came. Why did I give that illustration? If you have not been trained, can you do something? Can you deliver a woman? Eh? Can you do CS? Can doctor do it? What's the difference? If you pass through the party part, will you have been able to do it? Simple. The doctor say you know, I told you this body. You have the capacity to pray for 7 days, non-stop. You first of all have to believe it. They say, yeah, pray. No. If they say this 7 days prayer, okay, you first of all go there first. The worst that can happen is that maybe if you die, there won't even be a special testimony. Eh? When they write their account, no, they write account in heaven. You say, oh, that's where son asunder. And they now mention that this person died in an extended prayer meeting. You know, you go there first. That's the worst that could happen. Say, some of 3 days fasting, you are, you know, ah. You understand? So this is what we call the flesh. It is all those things put together that is the body. You have the capacity to do all things. Because you are looking at yourself, you are not looking at God. Moses was not planning to fast for 40 days. He was just going to meet God. When he met God, he was not hungry for 40 days. When he came back, he was not looking for food. He came back straight to ministering to Israel. Can you see it? So can you see all of those blockages? I think it was the one that's in the mind. You know, those blockages, the mind is just a block. And that was the first thing that happened in the parable of the sower, is the mind. That it be transformed by renewing your mind. There is nothing you cannot do. Together with the Holy Spirit. When you know that you are not going to be doing it on your own strength, you are going to be doing it on His own strength. The rule that the Lord is my strength and He's become my salvation. My strength is not the strength inside David. My strength is the strength that is inside Jehovah. Yes. And I'm living from that strength. I am doing things from what? From that strength. So this is where faith comes. You assess things by faith. So you know that you have the energy, you have the strength to do it. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. Praise the Lord. Can you approve this house? You know, that's the spirit of faith. He wrote now that the psalmist said, we too having the same spirit of faith. That's 2 Corinthians 5. He said, we, 2 Corinthians 4, he said, we too having the same spirit. He said, I believe. He said, the psalmist rose. I believe, therefore have I spoken. He said, we too having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. That's 2 Corinthians 4. The first thing is doable. So prayer meetings, tongues, you know, you just can't pray in tongues like that 3 hours. You know, if you are tired, you sit down, you read your Bible small or sing small, or you just sit down and be looking at the rest of the people. After you gather energy small, you join the train. This is how it is done. You must be trained. You know, yes, you must be trained in His presence. This fire must be carried. The revival fire will not just jump. Maybe it will jump over Akure. Things are happening over Akure. No. Anytime you hear, you know, yes, he was the one that was talking, you hear a name. Anytime we talk about fire is coming, he will first of all come and resident in somebody. And out of that person, God will begin to share his thoughts. The same thing, Jesus, the Messiah, the Holy Ghost came and came inside of him. He became a covenant on him and on the 12 people. There was a time 12 of them went and did something. Even Moses, he said, I'll take from the spirit the 72 elders. I'll take from the spirit that is inside of you and I'll put it on those elders. Even those that were not there, they were inside the camp. They were prophesying. That's how God did it. And then I was wondering, Esau and Jacob and everything. Well, you know, like that, when Jacob stood before Esau, he said, are you Esau? He said, I'm Esau. Otherwise, I expected that he would not get the blessing. Why didn't Esau vest and go and meet God and collect it? Because the whole thing, the thing was inside Jacob. So he gathered his two sons and Jacob took it from inside and then put it in Jacob. Even when he said, I am Esau, your voice is like the voice of Jacob, I am Esau. Okay, take it. Once he said, take it, it's irreversible. You can say, okay, it was a mistake. He deceived. No, he had already, it was there. He has already given it out. And on the account of heaven, it has. You can say, okay, Esau was the firstborn. Let me go and meet God and pray. And never, you know, you have to go and meet Jacob. Praise the Lord. So that is where I will end my talk. I've said three things. I've said a couple of things. I said, we're actors on an eternal stage. So the work here is beyond. If that way, it will make you to the. In fact, when you now come to the requirement of men, you score over 100. If you are faithful to God, they will not be pursuing us in this house to be faithful. Do you understand? So reconciliation house standard will surpass it 100%, right? Right? Because of our zeal, when we know that, you know, yes, so that you know, it's okay, one elder spoke to me somehow. Is it because, you know, my sacrifice in this house, they are not, you know, I'm seeing it or, so, you know, you not say something like that. You know, you've gone beyond that level because you are running for God. You know, so, and then God will put you in a, place. Yes, like some of us are in the consolation house now. Some of us are in redeemed. Some of us are here. You know, God will put you in a specific place. But if you have this eternal motive inside or on sense understanding, you know, you'll be able to run where things will go on seamlessly. We'll be able to do the much that we can do. You know that even the prayers you guys are praying here, should Jesus tarry? Eh? This is the implication. Should Jesus tarry? Maybe this same place, maybe in the next 70 years or in the next 100 years, other people are gathered in this house. What you did in the spiritual atmosphere is still open. It's still open. Can you see it? It's still open. So that is why we must do it with the whole of our heart and we must do more. So I've said something while act us on our internal stage. I've also talked about God sent us on an exile to live in this body. And a lot of us have not been able to overcome this body. And that's why the fire is not flowing. Prayerlessness, what are we talking about? Is it not this body? You are tired. And all of those things. Study the word. No, this and that. I prefer other things, you know. Some of us that love football very well. Abi, 2 hours you are watching ball, but you cannot read Bible for 2 hours. You understand? It's a lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Yes. You know, it's not wrong to watch football, but everything must be put in proper perspective. Perspective. You know, I will know that you are really dedicated. I will know that God has taken the whole of your heart. When maybe if your team is Arsenal, and Arsenal is playing a Champions League final, and the Holy Ghost, that period, you know, the Holy Ghost does not know Arsenal. And the Holy Ghost, he wants you to, the spirit of prayer is on you. You know, you not pray. If God has not dealt with you, will you pray? You can, you know, the spirit of prayer, maybe one like that, you come back there, okay, okay, I'll come and continue. When, which time is the match? They don't start. Okay, you know, you jump out. Those are called the flesh. I say they abstain from fleshly what? Loss. Yeah, desire that will make that wage war. That's a war against your soul. If it's that one that you love very well, Satan will use it against you. That's why you must not be attached to anything. Can like Chelsea when they play, when you, at your free time you watch them. If Chelsea is playing Champions League final, share the match, you'll still be there. After that, you do what you want to do, and you can go and Google it and watch it. Okay, you watch it. So you are, there is not, you are, you know, like a doctor was saying, there is nothing binding your heart. Your heart has been yoked to God. It has been yoked to God eternally. So every other thing is secondary. You know, that is what will bring the fire down. Praise the Lord. So I want us to pray. Except you, maybe I can take one or two questions. Then we'll just pray briefly. Any one or two questions or something. Okay, so, okay, sorry. Okay. Then let's just pray briefly. Can we begin? Let's just stand up. Can you begin to appreciate your Father? Thank you. Father, we bless you. Our righteous Father, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you all that glory. King of righteousness. King of righteousness, we thank you. We honor you. Thank you for this word. Thank you for this word. Thank you for releasing your spirit. Thank you for all that we have in Christ. Thank you. Thank you for this understanding. When you want to help a man, you give him understanding. You give him light. You are the light by whom we say, thank you for this light. This new light. Every day your light is new. Thank you for this renewal. Thank you for the spirit in the house. The spirit of awakening. The spirit of regeneration and renewal. Thank you for a new heart. Thank you for a new zeal. Thank you for a new understanding. Thank you for a new strength. Strength to lay hold on life. Strength to lay hold on you. Strength to bring you down. To bring you down. To bring you down. To bring you out. Out of your chambers. To unveil your manifest presence. Jacob said, God is in this place and I know it not. A lot of men have passed through the same place.
They could have slept on that same spot. But the day Jacob slept there, and they helped him to open his eyes, and then he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, a ladder, and angels ascending and descending on that ladder. Angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. He said, Jehovah is in this place and I know it not. But after the death, the burial, and the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, we have his manifest presence. We have his manifest presence. The Holy Ghost we received is the Holy Ghost of manifest presence. Presence. That's why one of the first gifts of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. You just receive him, you just start blow. You just start speaking tongues. You start speaking divine mysteries. You start prophesying in tongues. Because it's a new day. It's a new age. It's a new age. It's a new age. A new age. God is here to unveil himself, to unfold himself to this age and this generation. Thank you. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. Thank you. My Father, I connect to everything you are doing in this place. I yield myself, spirit, soul, and body. Thank you. Thank you. Father, help me to rend my heart and all my garments. Yes. Absolute submission in the name of Jesus. Let me submit to divine things, divine ordinances. Let me submit, let me yield to the flow of your spirit, to the urging and the nudging and the nuances of your spirit. As the Holy Ghost move, help us to move. Help us, our Father. Your name is help. Help us. Help us. In mercy. In your mercy, help us, our Father. Help us to see you. Help our sight. He said, I counsel you to buy eyesalve. You are not seeing. He said, I want you to buy eyesalve that you can see. That you can see. Eyesalve. Jesus stood and saw a man called John. He said, this man is not only John. This is the Elijah to come. This is the Elijah to come. That is Isaac. That is a man that could see. That's a man that could see. Abraham saw three men. Three men. Abraham looked at them and did not see men. Abraham looked at them and he saw God. Because the Bible said, behold, the Lord decided to come and visit Abraham. The next verse said three men stood. Verse 1 said God was coming. Verse 2 said three men stood before Abraham. Abraham looked at them and never saw men. He saw God in his sight. He said, some of you have entertained angels without knowing. No sight. Men met with angels they never knew. He said, some of you entertain. That means not just 1 minute. It's not just 2 minutes. He said, you have entertained angels without knowing. Some of us have spoke with angels. We never knew they were angels. And yet, one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost is discernment of spirit. When you meet spirit, you will know them. Abraham saw three men. He discerned. I know this is not men. He discerned the spirit. They had, those men had the same hand that you have. They had the same nose that I have. They look like you. They look like me. But behind the flesh, Abraham eyes pierced through the flesh, and he saw their spirit, that this is not the spirit of a man, that the spirit of God is standing before me. Men have entertained angels without knowing sight. Sight. Prophecies are being fulfilled in our days, and yet we are still waiting for the fulfillment of prophecy. Prophecies are being fulfilled in our days. We are waiting for prophecies to be fulfilled. Discernment of spirit. Eyes that we can see. Eyes that we can see. He said, bye, bye. I serve. You need sight. Eyes. 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 When man sinned in the garden, the first thing that happened was that he went blind. They were strong blind to the spirit. They died. to the spirit, they died, their eyes became blind. They said they saw that they were naked, they stopped seeing God. They stopped seeing the spirit. Eyes are when you get born again. When you got born again, the first thing that happened is that your eyes are open. He said, except the man is born again, he cannot see. The first thing you do is to see the kingdom. After you see the kingdom, you cannot possess the kingdom. Except you are born of water and the spirit, you cannot possess the kingdom. But the first thing is that you see the kingdom. Today, we are attacking the church. We attack the church. We attack ourselves. We attack everything attackable. The church is not doing this. The church is not doing that. Why? Because we are not seeing the true church of God fulfilling promises, fulfilling prophecies. Because we are not seeing. We are not seeing. When we fulfill prophecies, we don't know. When we walk in promises, we don't know. The church is this. The church is this. The church is this. Because we are not, we don't even see the church itself. How can you see the church when you are not seeing the God of the church? Eyes that we may see. We pray for eyes have. Eyes have in the name of Jesus. Give us sight. Give us sight. Open our eyes. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Our Father, we thank you. Give you praise. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There was a prophecy. Now, John the Baptist, Elijah is coming, and Elijah will restore all things. When Jesus came, he did not only say that John the Baptist is Elijah. He said John had restored all things. But man looked at Israel, the nation of Israel at that time, everything was in disarray. God ordained one high priest. When Jesus came, there were two high priests. Everything was in disarray. But Jesus looked in the spirit and said, John had come and John had restored all things, and now the Son of God can manifest. If it's you and I, we'll still be waiting for the restoration of all things. We need to see. We need to see. He said, John the Baptist, Elijah come. When Elijah come, he will restore all things. And when he restore all things, the Son of Man will come. When John the Baptist came, he said, I'm on decrease because I finished my ministry. I have restored all things. And so Jesus can come. And then Jesus came and began. Jesus came and began. When we move, when we are making progress, we say we are not moving. They Satan will sing beautiful song, wonderful music in our ears. You have done nothing yet. You have not done anything, no? Hey, you are supposed to be doing something, you have not done anything. When you are finished, when Paul finished the race, when the apostle Paul finished the race, he felt he was a failure. He felt he was a failure. He felt he had failed. And yet he had finished. And yet he had finished. He said, Demas has forsaken me. He said, all Asia is turned away from me. He said, all men are forsaking me. When he had finished all. When John the Baptist, Jesus said, nobody born of a woman is greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist himself thought that he was ill, that he had failed. John the Baptist felt he had failed. Thinking as a man, looking as a man, he said he has failed. But Jesus said, this man, no man born of a woman is greater than this man. When he has succeeded and finished all, the same way we felt that our lives is heading nowhere, the church is heading nowhere, God must change our understanding, change our sight. We must be full of energy. full of divine impetus. We must be full of energy to run on our feet from here to America. We don't know that we are running because of the energy that is a boiling and bubbling within. We must be full of joy, full of strength, knowing that we are acceptable before God, and God has accepted us. God has accepted our works. God has accepted our lives. Our lives. A lot has been done. We'll do more. We'll do more. God is not a man. He's not an ingrate. If you give God a cup of water, he said, if you receive a prophet, and the only thing you gave him is a cup of water, you will never lose your reward. Even a cup of water is appreciated by our Father in heaven. He said, the sower, some brought for 30%. 30% is acceptable to our Father. Some 60%. Some 100%. But not to have an understanding that we are not doing anything, we are useless. Father, we thank you. We have that impetus that God has accepted our 30%. And so we will labor to increase it to 60%. God has accepted our 60%. We will labor to increase it to 100-fold. Father, I will thank you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Our righteous Father, we thank you. We are your children. You don't have other children but apart from us. We will come to you again and again. In every generation, in every age, we will simply come to you as your children. We are your children. You know that we are flesh. Thank you. Thank you. And you have made us spirit. Even now that we are spirit, the flesh is still inside of us. And so every day on a daily basis, you help us to overcome the flesh. Just like your servant, the Apostle Paul wrote, that after I have preached to others, I put my body under that I may not be a castaway. Thank you. We are exiled, we are sojourners and pilgrims in the flesh. Thank you. We know that you take our flesh away and give us a new body after our walk with you on earth. But now that we are here, help us to overcome all in Jesus' name. Amen. Day by day. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I pray for this fellowship and I pray for the fire in this house. It will spread to all in the name of Jesus Christ. It will spread, it will consume the youth church. It will also spread to the larger church and add to the fire that is already there in Jesus' name. Thank you, our righteous Father. Thank you for these men and women that have been faithful. You are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. Thank you because we have our reward for the things that we are doing. And we will receive them by faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, our Father. Part of that reward is your manifest presence. Thank you, our Father. We are bound and abide in it in Jesus' name. Amen. Give you praise and glory. We honor you, our Father. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
For more life transforming messages, please visit www.livingscrollministry.com.
Ask him tonight to put a nation on your heart.